Okay. Again, good morning. This is Jennifer's voice, in case you haven't heard my voice before. I also have Merv, Molly, and Ron on the line with me today. So if you have questions for people who aren't me or comments for people who aren't me and are Molly, Merv, and Ron, you can certainly ask them, and they're welcome to chime in anytime they want if they have comments or suggestions or anything on what we're going to talk about today. So officially, Ron, Merv, and Molly, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And in case you don't recognize the low gravelly voice in there, that's actually Molly. She hasn't been feeling well for the last couple weeks, and none of us recognized her voice when she logged on. So that's Molly with the low voice and the sniffles. Okay, so why are we here today? Well, first, thank you all for being here today to our first ACRE 2.0 live meeting. I appreciate you all being here and the interest that you've shown in what we're doing around here. So why are we here today? What's the goal? Well, let me back up a little bit and kind of tell you where we've been the last 2 months quickly and you know, how we got here and why we're meeting here today. As most of you know, back in November, I agreed to take over as Molly calls it, the chief bottle washer at ACRE. And I started, at the time I was actually kind of busy, so I was doing other things. Anyway, I didn't really dig in to what I was going to do at ACRE until sometime about mid-December. Well, right around Christmas, I really did start focusing on ACRE and what I wanted to do and what I felt needed to be done to accomplish our goals, yada, 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 and I went into a panic. I was looking at things, and I thought, you know, what on earth did I do here? Why did I volunteer for this? Why did I agree to do this? You know, my life was really good. You know, I was really happy. You know, why did I sign up for this? I'm not the right person. I can't possibly do this. What if I fail? What if I embarrass myself? So I had this little meltdown for about 2 weeks, which is a long time for me to have a meltdown. Didn't really talk to anybody about it. Just kept thinking, you know, what? I don't know what to do. This is too much. I can't do it. So for a little bit of time there, I said, okay, how do I get out of this? You know, how do I call up Molly and say, I can't do this. I'm sorry, we've made all this announcement and we've done, I can't do it. You know, how do I announce that to my mailing list that I can't do it? You know, I was trying to come up with something. Well, I realized pretty quickly that that wasn't going to happen. There was no way I could give up. I mean, I just couldn't do it. So that's when I realized I needed to figure out a way to not be overwhelmed by it and to move forward and to do all of these things that I wanted to do. So once the option, what do they call that, burning your boats or something, or burning your bridges behind you or whatever, once I'd done that, I started digging in and realizing that, yeah, I can do this, and I'm actually going to have a great time doing it, and I think what we end up with on the other side is going to be pretty wonderful. So right about Christmas, a little after Christmas, was when I started having discussions with you all on the exchange about where we were going, what we were doing. Those discussions have been incredibly helpful to me, both in fine-tuning in my mind what I wanted to do, as well as, you know, what you all want to do and things that I hadn't really thought of, obviously, since I'm just me. So what I want to do today is sort of catch you up to where we are, answer any questions or concerns that you have. Please know that I probably don't have all the answers. I know I don't have all the answers, and you may bring up questions, comments, feedback, issues that I haven't thought of, and I may sound like a bumbling idiot trying to answer them. Okay, but we'll do our best. What I'm going to do is just hit the high points of what's going on here for, I don't know, the next, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes, however long it takes, and then we can talk about whatever the rest of you all want to talk about. Sound good? Okay. When I took over, when I agreed to take over, I was looking at the whole ACRE program, and I was thinking, okay, there's two ways I can go with this. The first thing I can do is take what we have, maybe tweak it a little bit, and move forward. Okay, find out what the crowd wants to do next and take it from there, move forward with what we have. The other option would be to sort of rebuild the foundation, rebuild the structure and start, not from scratch certainly, but start somewhat near the beginning, and that's the course I decided to take, partly because that's just the way my mind works, and if I'm going to take responsibility, control for something, I need to make it mine. And So, you know, on one end, creatively, I needed that freedom and flexibility to do that, which Molly very graciously gave me. And then I also, you know, there's enough in the course, in the site, in all of the infrastructure, there was a lot that was going to have to be tweaked to move forward, and sometimes it just makes more sense to start over than to try to fix something that, you know, that we're just going to be opening up, I don't know what you call it, you know, the can of worms or the can of beans or the whatever it is where you peeling the onion. So we made the executive decision to just kind of somewhat start from scratch. So the reason I'm telling you that is because if there were initiatives that you've been real excited about ACRE doing, let's say, you know, you're like, okay, great, you know, we can move forward, we can do this exciting thing over here, this exciting thing over there. We're not ready to do those things yet. We're going to be probably spending the next, I don't know, maybe 4, 5, 6 months rebuilding the infrastructure. Not that there was anything wrong with the infrastructure before, it's just, you know, it's been there for a while, and it's time to revisit it you know, sort of, as I call it, the ACRE 2.0. The biggest challenge I think we have as a consulting movement, as a consulting group of people, is that we have almost 500 ACRE graduates and probably a very small percentage are actually practicing consulting for a lot of reasons. Okay, most of them are good reasons, but they're just not doing it. So we have all these people who may be calling themselves ACRES or not. They like the idea of consulting, but they're not actually doing it. And so if none of us are out there doing it, the movement is not going to spread. People aren't going to jump on the bandwagon because they're not seeing it working. And that's essentially what's happening right now is, quote, unquote, it's not working. Now, it's working for the people who it's working for, and there definitely are those of you on the call today and in our membership. But, you know, people aren't doing it. You're not doing it. Why? Okay, well, I think I know some reasons why, and if anybody wants to share with me other reasons you're not doing it, that's great. But that's our primary initiative for the reboot, the relaunch, the restructuring, and moving forward, is to get those who believe this is the wave of the future, who want to do this for their, themselves, their businesses, and their clients, to give you everything we can so that you can do it if you want. You know, we can't do it for you. You know, we can't create your business for you, but we're going to do everything we can to help you get to the point where you can do it yourself. Okay, so that's where everything is going with this, with what we're going to be doing this year. There are other challenges, but I think that they all kind of funnel into that, is we need to get people actually practicing. Okay, so let's get into the issues that we're addressing. When we talk about restructuring, relaunching, rebuilding the foundation, what are we talking about? Well, the first thing, I think probably the most obvious thing, is the rebranding of the ACRE program. Now, that's been a hot topic of discussion around the exchange for the last month. Very interesting discussions, every once in a while heated discussions, and very, very helpful to me in identifying the compromises I wanted to make, was willing to make, where, you know, I wanted to make as many people happy as I could while still staying true to my vision of ACRE in the future. So the first issue that we dealt with in the rebranding was whether or not to replace the ACRE acronym, A-C-R-E. There were a couple reasons I felt we might want to do this. The first one was the issue with the first letter of the ACRE designation, and that is the A, which stands for accredited, which we were not accredited by any association membership. I just heard a door slam. By the way, I'm doing this in the comfort and privacy of my own home, but I have four dogs, so if there's anything in the perimeter that they need to tell us about, they will. So if you hear dogs barking in the background, there might be a FedEx guy or a UPS guy outside. Anyhow, where was I? Okay, the ACRE acronym. So I really wasn't willing to move forward with ACRE calling it the accredited consultant in real estate if it was not going to be accredited. That was my first kind of serious stumbling block. I had a couple other kind of issues with the ACRE acronym, which have kind of passed at this point. But, you know, I also felt that we wanted something a little, you know, kind of new and fresh and a little bit different. And I just could not figure out how to make that happen with the A-C-R-E. So that was one issue. That was one issue we had. So the first thing that I proposed for those of you who are on the exchange was to change the designation from ACRE to the consulting professional. Some of you liked it, some of you didn't. Actually, Molly came up with that, and I absolutely loved it. And a lot of you liked it too. But some, you know, we got some pushback for that for various reasons. Some people just simply didn't like the idea of getting rid of ACRE altogether, and I understand that. Some, you know, didn't like the words consulting professional together. I'm going to talk about that here a little bit later. And, of course, there was the concern about, okay, I've already branded myself as this. Why are you going to go and change this on me? So we went around and around about that for a little while. All right. I'm coming back to that. So it sort of occurred to me, actually it occurred to me and Merv one day when we were sitting at my beach house talking about ACRE, that, you know, what if we could, you know, keep the ACRE acronym but come up with a different A? You know, and we thought about that and, you know, really couldn't come up with anything that was perfect. So, but I kind of let that stew around in my head. And I think, okay. The other thing that came up during this time, and I'm getting to the punchline here, don't worry. The other thing that came up with this, that came up during this time was whether or not we wanted the ACRE designation to include a competence component. So people who go through the ACRE program, do we want to have some sort of evidence on the other side that these people are competent real estate practitioners? Okay. And so if we want a competence component, how are we going to do that? Well, I did sort of a formal and an informal vote, and the response was overwhelmingly, yes, we want a competence component. We want the ACRE designation, the ACRE program, to represent something more than just, you know, I read a book and now I know how to do real estate consulting. We as a group said, yes, we want a competence component. I think only two people said no. Of course, you know, how do you do that? We had a lot of different ideas about how to do that. I'm not going to talk about that today. I will in the future, but obviously that's a concern. Okay, the thing about the competence component, one of the things, though, is, okay, that's fine moving forward, but what about the 461 ACRE graduates we have right now? Do we grandfather them in and assume that they're all, quote-unquote, competent? I don't know. Do we do that? I don't know. Do we make them all take a competence test? You know, I don't know. I don't want to put that test together. I don't know about you. You know, how do we accommodate? You know, how do we make it meaningful so that all the people who have already have the ACRE accreditation, you know, that they are kind of folded into this competence component issue? So that was something that we were kind of stewing over. All right. I came up with a solution to all of these issues that I'm pretty happy with, and I think that if it doesn't satisfy everybody, I think it'll satisfy most, and even the people who aren't jumping up and down absolutely thrilled about it, I think they'll go, yeah, that'll work. So here's what I propose that we do. The first thing is to form an association. And I looked it up online, and you can form an association without, you know, having to go through any big, I mean, it's forming an association is not something that's hard to do. Okay. We'll form an association that I want to call the Association of Consulting Professionals in Real Estate. Okay? The Association of Consulting Professionals in Real Estate. I don't see doing a lot of advertising around this. I don't see this being, you know, something that we're doing a lot of promotion of, but we form the association. All right? Once we have formed an association, we can certainly accredit our members. Now, maybe it's a little bit of a fine line there as to whether or not that's a little bit, you know, it's our association and our accreditation, but I think we can make that happen. So if our association accredits our members, our graduates, then we can certainly call ourselves accredited consultants in real estate, accredited consultants in real estate. So we can maintain the ACRE acronym, designation, brand, et cetera. So those who want to continue using ACRE, that's a solution to be able to do that, and it even has the same title. The third step, however, we still have to deal with the competence component, which the membership voted they wanted, and I agree. I've always thought that. And so here's my proposal for handling that, and that is to create a higher level consulting designation, completely voluntary. Nobody has to do it, but if you want to have a designation, a consulting designation that includes competence, then you would have the consulting professional in real estate designation. Okay, so we have the Association of Consulting Professionals in Real Estate, we have the accredited consultant in real estate, and then we have the highest designation, which is the consulting professional in real estate. And that actually looks pretty cool. The CPIRE, I've been playing with it, and it actually is a kind of cool-looking designation. So for all current acres, if you're happy with your acre designation, you don't want to change anything about it, you don't have to. You don't even have to change the branding if you don't want to. You can keep the original brand, the original logo, the original marketing. None of that will change if you don't want it to. We are, however, going to update the acre logo. And the feedback I've gotten is that if we're going to keep acre as the acronym, then we don't need to keep the motif of the house. A lot of people said, houses are kind of tired. It's kind of cliched. Let's do something else. So we will be updating the acre logo and brand, which will apply to the association as well as to the higher level consulting professional designation. But we're not going to get all hot and bothered if people want to continue to use the original acre brand, logo, color, motif, all of that. So that will certainly be your choice. So, how does that sound so far? Ron, Merv, Molly, anything you want to add before we continue?
I just wanted to tell everybody on the call that this, what Jennifer is doing, we've been in close touch. She's not only got my blessing, she's got my enthusiastic support. This is not a hostile takeover. I wanted Jennifer to do this. And I realize how difficult change is. I don't look at it as that I've given up the ship. I still want to be incredibly involved with my baby that I started. I look at it as handing the baton over to Jennifer to take the next, round on the relay. And, just to want to make sure that even if the thought was buried in any acres' minds about, well, gee, this is a totally different direction, this is not what Molly wanted. No, Molly wanted this. Molly absolutely wanted this and is enthusiastically supporting this, and I'm just thrilled with what Jennifer's doing. I did not take this lightly in handing the reins over, and I it's my belief in this movement, that has sustained me this far, and it's this belief in Jennifer that will sustain me going forward, and I hope it will sustain everybody else.
Thank you, Molly. And you just sound horrible, but
thank you.
Well, and one thing I wanted to add, and I appreciate you bringing that up, Molly, is that one of the earlier conversations that Molly and I had was, if I'm going to take this over, I need to feel the freedom. I need to have the flexibility to do with it as I see fit within, reason. And that includes the rebranding, which I wondered if that might be a little bit of a sensitive topic, obviously. The good news is that Molly and I have the same vision. I mean, she could have gone out and sold this or given this to, somebody who had a completely different vision. They would have taken it, run with it, and, created something completely different. I am going to dig in and I'm going to make some changes, but I think 99% of them, if not more, will be things that Molly would be supportive of. We just have the same vision. It's not something that I have to think about. If I'm thinking something's a good idea, I can almost guarantee I'd call Molly up and she's going to go, yeah, that's what I think too. So
the other thing, Jennifer, cool. I don't know if this is the time to bring it up, but the financial realities of what we were dealing with, and I have been dealing with, Merv and I've talked about it for years, is the financial viability of Acre and how do we make it financially viable. Because not to get maudlin, but, not only working for free when we propose that you don't work for free, but putting in, you know, tons of my own capital, just it could not continue. So, you know, that's the other aspect that really needs to be talked about, you know, honestly and openly, because mm-hmm. members need to understand that if it's a tough financial situation, it's tough for everybody. But for Acre to continue, it had to be made financially viable. It just had to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something else that, you know, I wanted to make sure that was brought up.
Well, it's good enough time to talk about it right now. We did have a question on, you know, we've had a couple questions come in over the webcast of sort of, okay, what does this mean financially? And, you know, what it means is that becoming an Acre is going to cost money here in the relatively near future. The free course is going away, probably in a week or two. It's not going to be replaced yet because I'm working on that. But, you know, when it is replaced, it is going to have a cost associated with it. For those of you who know me and what I do over at Sell with Soul, you know that it's not going to be prohibitive. I think the most expensive thing I've ever sold over there is $300, and that was an 8-week class. So, you know, I'm not one of these, you know, pay me $497, you know, over $2,000 over three easy payments of $497 a piece or whatever. I don't do that. So the cost of getting the Acre designation itself, there will be a cost associated with that. As far as ongoing services, membership, there will be costs involved in being a member of the association, of being an Acre, of being, you know, the consulting professional. They will not be anything that someone's going to say, I absolutely cannot afford that. My business model has never included the elitist sort of, we only want the people who can afford to pay us $2,000 or $3,000 for an hour of coaching or whatever. I mean, it's just not my business model. So, you know, nothing we do is going to make someone who has any sort of business at all say, oh my gosh, I can't afford that. It will be reasonable. You know, will there be membership costs, annual membership costs? I don't know. I really haven't thought that far ahead. If they are, again, there'll be something that's reasonable, and something I believe very strongly in is that anything I charge for, the people who are paying it are going to get far more for their dollar than, you know, whatever the go-giver thing is provide more in value than you take in payment. So I'm not going to ask anybody to give me a dime if they don't want to, if they don't feel the value in it. So if you decide to pay for whatever it is we're offering here at Acre, you will do it because you believe with all your heart it's going to help you, not because you feel obligated to or guilty, you know, that we're not profitable. That's not the way we're going to do things here. And we will be profitable. But we will be profitable because we deserve to be profitable, because we've earned it, because people see the value, okay? And that's going to be another hot topic probably around here, and it already has been, this is off the subject, but if you're going to go out there and charge fees for your service, you better believe you're worth those fees, that you're providing more in value than you're taking in payment, and that your customer is getting a good deal, okay? That's how I feel about my business, is any fees I charge, I want you to think you're getting a good deal. In fact, that is sort of my business model, is whatever I offer, I want people to say, holy cow, that's a no-brainer, okay? I want to be profitable, but I want you to be excited about what you're getting from me too. So that's going to be our business model going forward. Oh, one thing I'd like to add before I move on, and that is some of the pushback that we got to using the word professional in the designation or in the association or in anything that we're doing. Some people felt like the word professional is redundant, it's superfluous, it's cliched, it's overused, it's a commodity. And it might be all those things, but I really like it, and I think the word professional opens up a lot of avenues to exploit the word, especially in the real estate industry, because we are an industry of salespeople. And, you know, nothing wrong with being a salesperson, except that I don't believe anybody who has a real estate license and uses it is a salesperson. So, and that's what I believe. You can disagree with me if you want. That's okay. But I don't believe that any one of us here in this room sells real estate, not one of us. And so I really intend to, as I like to call it, exploit the word professional, explain what it means to us, why we use it, how it differentiates us from your traditional run-of-the-mill real estate agent out there running around calling themselves a salesperson. So, and it's just a pretty word. It looks good when you, you make it graphical. Anyway, I've written a lot over the years about being a real estate professional, and so it fits in very nicely, and I am going to use it. All right.
Jennifer, can I throw something in it
really
quickly?
Mm-hmm.
I've used this analogy with just a couple of people, but I think it's very important. The more I think about it, the more I think it will help to crystallize why we need to use the word professional and exploit its uses. And that's something very near and dear to my heart. My mother is a retired RN, a registered nurse. When my mother got trained in nursing, it was in the 50s, and you didn't go to college to be a nurse. You went to nursing school, and it was a trade, no more, no less. You were really doctor's helper. You were it was looked at as what we would probably look at as a technician today. It wasn't until the 60s that nursing started to change its image from the doctor's helper to a profession all in of itself, and came about where if you wanted to be a nurse, now you needed to go to college and get a degree in nursing. And the whole atmosphere of nursing has changed over the years, where it is a profession unto of itself. It is not doctor's helper. It's a whole different career. And there were a lot of people, and my mother testified to this, who were either unwilling or unable to step up the professional standards that were needed in today's nursing, and they ended up leaving the business. And I think it's just a very good parallel when people get caught up in, oh, I don't want to, use the word professional. No, we need to change real estate to a profession, and that is going to be stepping up not only our educational requirements, our competence requirements, but it's also going to have to be changing our image as schlocky salespeople to, and I'm just going to use that term, you won't, but I will, to true professionals in real estate with a knowledge base and competence, basis that people look at us totally differently than,
exactly.
And I wanted that analogy to go along with the tired one I always use about the financial salesperson versus the CPA or certified financial planner.
Well, and I think the issue, the debate that we were having is, okay, you're calling yourself a professional, isn't that, just sort of cliched? And I suppose it is, except I think when you – I want to use that word in its pure sense and its – So anyway, that sort of decision's been made. We're going to do it, and I hope that everybody supports that. And I think you see, those of you who are not real excited about it, when you see, what we're going to do with it, you'll be happy. But yeah, I mean, our industry is not considered a profession by most, even by most of us in it. It's an industry, and I think Ron had mentioned that in his unbelievably wonderful article he posted about professionalism. We're an industry. We're not a profession. We can be a profession, though. Let's do that. Okay, we're not going to change the world, but let's us here be professional and create a profession. There's some great questions here on the webcast I'm going to get to before I move forward to my next topic, which is the Acre course. So I think we had a question about the revenue model. I don't know if we answered that. But I answered it as much as I can today. Okay, Dana had a couple of comments. One about, we're not showing up real high on Google searches about real estate consulting. And actually, I think we do have a plan in place. It's an organic plan to move up the rankings. I am not going to spend a bunch of time on keywords and pay-per-clicks and any of that stuff. I'm just not going to do it. But I think organically we're going to be able to help you out there. So just stay tuned for that. Let's see. The designation, what would the designation be? Dana's asking, what would exactly would the designation be? Well, we would have the two designations. And, you know, let me say this. I'm not a big, like, gee, we've got to have more designations. I don't really care if what we do is a designation or not. Frankly, if everybody said we don't care, if we don't want a designation, then we wouldn't, you know, I don't care. You know, some people like it. Some people don't, you know, some people don't care. My point in getting any sort of continuing education is that I learn something that I can apply to make my business better. And that's our goal, is to teach you stuff you can actually use. If a designation comes along with it and you want to use that in your marketing, great, but it's not the be-all and end-all of what we're doing. So, you know, don't get too caught up in the designation itself. Get all caught up in what you're learning, what you're gaining, and how it's going to help your business. There is no designation on the planet that's going to change your business because you put it on your card or you sign up on their website or whatever. And I'm not even going to pretend that you know, I'm going to save anybody's business because I'm offering some, you know, hotshot new designation. Anyway, so we would have two designations, though, ACRE, and then the consulting professional in real estate, which I'm thinking is going to be CP, little I-R-E, and I've done some mock-ups with it, and it looks really cool, actually. So CP, little I-R-E, big R-E, and then ACRE would just stay ACRE. So that's what the designations would be called. Frank wants to know how ACRE is going to incorporate with Sell with Soul. And at this point, they're two different entities. You know, for those of you who don't know, I wrote a book called Sell with Soul and a couple follow-up books. So my little empire over in the real estate world is typically referred to as Sell with Soul or SWS. That's still going to continue, and I teach a lot about traditional real estate, non-consulting related. I'm still going to do that. Will the entities ever be one? I don't know. We'll see. But right now, they'll stay somewhat separate with an awful lot of crossover because a lot of the membership is crossed over already. So if you have any specific questions about how the Sell with Soul side of my business will impact ACRE, feel free to ask. But, you know, for right now, I'm keeping them somewhat separate. Great comment here. I believe as the organization grows, we need to do something to attract young, smart people. They're the people who are energetic and will take the organization forward. Amen. Yes. And I don't necessarily think they have to be young, as in 20 or 25 years old. One thing that, and this goes back to the competence conversations we had, but one thing, probably I get, in the Sell with Soul side of my business, I attract an awful lot of new agents. I mean, that's really where people find me, is in their first year, because that's when they're searching for a lot of help, for a lot of training. And those are the agents we want, because for those of you who aren't real familiar with what I teach over there, it's very competence-based, it's very respect-based, it's treating real estate as a profession. So the people who find me are not the ones out there looking for the best script or the best objection buster or the best way to cold call 1,000 people a day. They're the ones looking for help making this career a profession. And so that's who funnels into Sell with Soul. And so once we get ACRE sort of up and running again, you know, they're the ones who are going to funnel into ACRE. And I'm really excited about
Jennifer,
that.
Ironically, Jennifer, if I could throw in, the history of ACRE up until now, a huge percentage of our enrollees are people that I would say are new. Either they're new, young new, like this is their first job, but more importantly, new as in I'm coming from a different profession. Mm-hmm. What they have in common is that they're getting into real estate and saying, what the heck is this? because they are used to being in a profession where it is a profession, where many did consulting, whether it was management consulting or they were in high tech or everything. But what they have in common is that this way the real estate industry is constructed is like dinosaur age.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will just want to reverberate. Another area that, you know, why we see so eye to eye is that what I, along with the rest of the council, have built is something that does attract people who are new to
mm-hmm.
real estate. And in such, their expectations are very different than what you're going to get on a typical active rain post where you're getting a lot of the, you know,
That'll never work.
Yeah. Exactly. It's this excitement of, wow, this is how real estate should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that we do have in common. So I just wanted to throw that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. So I do think we're working in that direction. We're going to be a little bit on hold here for the next few months, although I think we'll build a little bit of anticipation. Once the free course shuts down, we'll just be taking names, and you know there may be quite a bit of anticipation built up by the time the new course is ready. So let's see. We're going to talk about the course next, Sandra, so I'll get to your question about should you go ahead and take it. Lita wants to know about the higher level designation. How will it be earned? I'm going to hold off on that. I have an idea about how I'm going to structure that. I think you'll be happy with it, but I'm not going to address that today if you don't mind, but I will address it in the future. Let's see, another comment. And I'm sorry, I don't know how to – is it Rajat? Do you know how to pronounce that? R-A-J-A-T? Anybody know how to pronounce that?
No.
I'm probably butchering your name. Okay, so Rajat, that's what I'll – you've been asking some good questions, and I've kind of been avoiding the name because I didn't know how to pronounce it. But comment is, right now acre consulting is being thought of as just about giving choices. For me, consulting is about strategy and helping clients take appropriate action after we know what their objective is. And I agree with that. That's something we are going to get a little bit away from in the new year, in the Acre 2.2, is that it's just simply about, you know, giving the consumer different choices, but also about providing them a higher level of consulting, which would include choices, but it's not just choices. I mean, if you go in and, you know, you talk with a buyer, seller, or a homeowner, or a potential buyer, or a landlord, or an investor, or, you know, whoever, and they present their situation to you, and you have the solution, you know, that's certainly consulting as well. So I hear what you're saying there. I agree. And I think when you see the new materials, you'll see less of an emphasis on consulting being about choices. I think it is a big part of it, but there's more to it. I agree with that. So, okay, let's go ahead and let me check right here. Okay, we just got a lot more questions in, but I'm going to go ahead and move forward, and then I'll get back to the questions and just make sure I get everything on this list taken care of, and then we can ask and answer questions all the rest of the day if you want to. Okay, the Acre course. Let's talk about that. Okay, right now, as probably everyone here knows, the Acre course is free, and that was done intentionally to start expanding the movement, expanding the network, getting more people involved. I think it was a wise thing to do, but, you know, that was a temporary thing, and we're not going to do that anymore. What I'm doing with the Acre course is I'm revamping it, and I'm putting it on a professional-grade learning management system platform. It's pretty cool. It's pretty hot stuff. I mean, there's, you know, it's one of those learning management systems that, you know, big corporations use to train and certify their employees, or, you know, the Nurses Association uses it to, you know, for nurses to certify whatever. So it's a pretty hot little platform, and I'm still learning my way around it, but that's where the Acre course is going to be. What that's going to do is allow us to have quizzes, homework, apply what you've learned sort of assignments. It's going to be a technologically, I believe, you know, an upgrade. The course we have right now had some of that, but this is going to have a lot more. And as I'm working through it, I'm really excited about it. So the new course will be on this platform. The plan is that when you come out of the course, if you finish it, there's going to be a lot more homework, you know, a lot more apply what you've learned sort of things, so that you should come out of it ready to go. the way I'm structuring it, unless something changes, is that it will be presented in modules. The first module will be free. It'll be an introductory philosophical module so that anybody can go in and do the, you know, the go through the philosophical part of why I want to be a real estate consulting or a consulting professional. And it might have a, you know, a little assignment at the end, sort of a, you know, here's a taste of what you're going to get. The rest of the modules, which I'm thinking there'll be six altogether, will then be the real nuts and bolts, the meat of the program. You know, one module will focus on creating, as Molly calls it, your strategic focus. You know, we'll have a compensation module. We'll have a module about working with sellers, with working with buyers, people who aren't buyers and sellers, and then, you know, advanced topics. So I don't have all that done yet. I'm working on it, but I don't have it all done, but I have a pretty decent outline in place. So, you know, how much will the acre course cost? I don't know. Again, it's not going to be prohibitive. And, you know, will current acres have to take the course and pay for it to keep their membership or to keep their accredit, their designation? At this point, no. I don't have any plans for that. But you might want to. I think it's going to be pretty cool. But at this point, you know, I don't have any plans to require anybody to take the course to maintain their current designation. However, that said, our big plan is sometime this spring to run the new ACRE course as a live online workshop. Now, what do I mean by a live online workshop? A live online workshop is we will gather together as a group online. We'll all start on the same day, let's say March 1st. I don't know. Let's say March 1st. And we will do the entire new program together. We'll communicate via these teleseminar meetings, on a private forum, chats, emails, webinars. We'll be able to have discussion groups that are led by members of ACRE who have particular expertise, which, you know, I don't. I don't have expertise in all of this, and so I'm hoping that those of you who do will want to volunteer to lead a discussion group. We'll have homework. We'll have a place where you can share what you're putting together, ask questions. I've done several of these live workshops in the past, and they've been great. If you participate in it and you complete it, you should be ready to go out and be a consultant at the end of it, completely ready. So that's something we're going to be working on here in a little bit once I have a little more infrastructure in place. But that's the plan on how we're going to launch the new ACRE course. And will there be a cost for that? Yes, of course there will be a cost for that. However, I have a way that existing ACRES can reduce that cost to them, but I will talk about that much closer to time. That will be, Molly will be helping me lead that. I think Merv and Ron both said they were on board, and I've touched base with a few of the other of you out there about, you know, taking on certain topics that you seem to be very well versed in. If you'd like to volunteer to lead a discussion group or a mastermind, just see me after class, and I'll give you a little bit more information. Molly, did you want to say something, or were you just clearing your throat?
I was clearing my throat, sorry.
Okay. That's all right. Okay, so that's the new ACRE course. As far as those of you who, I think there are several on the call who are enrolled in the course, but you haven't completed it and you want to know, should you complete it? Sure. You know, there's no reason not to. If you complete the course, it gives you access to the Graduate Exchange, which is sort of a forum-like program that's has a lot of really good information. So it's completely up to you. You know, we're not going to take it away from you. We're not going to tell you have to finish it by next week because it's going away. You can, you know, continue to do it if you'd like. If you want to wait for the new course, just know there will be a cost associated with it. But, you know, you're welcome to do that, completely up to you. You know, if you've already enrolled in the course, you have everything you need to finish it. So, I'll just leave that up to you. If you have any specific questions about that, feel free to ask. Okay, the last thing I wanted to talk about before then we break for the rest of the questions is a new website. Merv and I took a look at the existing ACRE website, and there's a lot there. There's a lot there. And to try to go in and update it to everything we're doing new, I couldn't even fathom doing that. Part of the, I don't know if it's a problem, but part of my problem with the existing website is that it's a lot of coding as opposed to something that I can go in and do myself. So I don't want to learn coding, and I want to manage my website. So there really was no question that we were going to have to recreate the site, because I need to have 99% control over what's in there so that I can change it if I need to. I learned the hard way several years ago, never be dependent on somebody else to manage your website for you completely. So what's on the Acre Consulting Times right now, a lot of it will be archived, so it won't be going away. The Exchange will be archived. I don't even know what's all on there, but a lot of the resources that are there will still be there. There'll clearly be some of them obsolete, out of date, but we will leave them there and, as references. But the site itself will be trimmed down to just what needs to be there to be archived.
Jennifer, I had a question.
Yeah.
The Acre Locator, will you have some facsimile of that?
Oh, yeah.
Going forward?
Yep. Absolutely. So, yeah, the Acre Locator will, the new website will have a forum. A more traditional forum, not like the Exchange. It'll be a forum. It'll have a public section and a private section. So, public consulting discussions, I really would encourage us to have a lot of those, because that's what attracts new people, is those public discussions about consulting. But we'll also have a private area that only members or graduates or whatever we decide to call ourselves can have access to. We'll have the locator and whatever else we need to have on there. If you want to get, sort of an idea, Merv and I just today finished up a website over at Sell with Soul called SWS Connect. SWS Connect. You can go over there and kind of check it out. You'll see that you'll see a member locator that looks real familiar. Okay? It's basically the same program. So we will be doing something similar to Connect for the new Acre website, which will include the Acre locator map and a good search. So, be patient with us on the website. Obviously, it's going to take us a little while. One more thing. As far as ongoing services, ongoing Acre services, there's a lot of stuff that I think we can help you with. And we want to help you with. I will admit that right now they're kind of low on the priority list while we get some of this other infrastructure in. But, we will be earning our keep with you. I'm sure that we'll have teleseminars, webinars, we'll have discussions. We'll probably, we'll be providing you with marketing material that you can use. One of my specialties has always been sphere of influence business modeling. So that's something that I imagine later in the year I'll dive into is, sort of helping you communicate with your sphere of influence as to what consulting is all about and how you can help the people that you know. So we will have ongoing services for our members. And if you have ideas about what those ongoing services ought to look like, feel free to tell us. But I think once we get our brains cleared of this initial relaunch, then we're going to have more ideas that we could possibly get done. That's the way it seems to work, which is very exciting. So, okay. Okay, Cindy has a great question about the competence component, and this is something that I'm happy to talk about. She says, shouldn't time in the industry be a factor? If you've been an agent for 15 years, you have something to offer. If you've been an agent for 2 years, not so much. Some of us have designations that have taken years to accomplish, and one of the criteria is X number of years in the real estate industry. This is one of the debates we had going on over the Exchange. We didn't get too deep into it, but let me just tell you how I feel about that. And I think Molly agrees with me, but I'm happy to debate it. Do years of experience matter? Oh, yes. Absolutely. I mean, I am horrified when I see, real estate agents fresh out of school, proclaiming that, they're every bit as knowledgeable and competent as me, and I've been doing this for 15 years. Not a freaking chance, okay? Someone who's been doing this for a long time is clearly has more experience if they've actually been practicing real estate. Now, are there lousy real estate agents with 15 years of experience? Oh, yes, we all know them, of course. Are there really good real estate agents with 1 or 2 years of experience? Absolutely, and absolutely all day long, and I know a lot of them. So does years of experience count? Yes, it counts. Is it, you know, the only factor? Of course not. We all know that. But here's when we're talking about the competence component of ACRE. You know, there were some suggestions that we wanted to, you know, we wanted to require a certain years in the business. There's some inherent problems with that, one of which I don't want to chase people away who have found us and want to be a part of this. I don't want to chase them off and say, come back in 2 years. Come back when you've had 10 closings. Come back when you've done this. I don't want to do that, okay? I want these people to find us, realize this is the way to go, and you know, I don't want to have to go get them 2 years later, especially because when people are coming into the business, that's when they're looking for us. Okay? I want to catch them early. Okay. Now, the competence component that I'm going to propose will deal with that somewhat. But here's what I'm going to propose is that in our profiles that we're going to create at the new site, it's going to say what year you got licensed. If that's 2012, then, you know, if you're referring to somebody else, if you're talking with somebody else, you know, you're going to know that they're a brand new agent, and you can take that information and do with it what you want. You know, from the outside, people looking in, should we impose something that says, well, you know, you can't be an ACRE until you've been doing this 2 years, 5 years, and you have this many closed transactions? We could do that. I don't want to. Partly administratively, I don't have the staff to do that sort of thing. And I don't think it's necessary. You know, we are never going to be, I don't think, a CRS, you know, or a GRI. You know, we don't have the manpower, the budget to be, you know, some nationally recognized designation. Now, if we are, great. But, you know, I don't see that in our immediate future. So what I would like to do is get as many smart, creative, professional real estate practitioners as we can in our midst. And if they're relatively new to the business, I'm going to be okay with that. But if you have 15 years experience and lots of designations, then the people who are finding you are going to see that, and they're going to know that. So we're certainly not discounting it. Lorena's asking, and I invited Lorena onto the show today. She's been kind of nosing around consulting for a couple years, and she's a broker down in Frisco, Texas. And I have wanted her to come on board for quite a while, and so I invited her here today to listen in. She's asking what the stumbling blocks are to people not practicing consulting. And I'll tell you the ones that I've seen. If anybody wants to add any, maybe you could add those in the chat of what your stumbling blocks have been. A biggie is brokers won't let them. Okay, the broker doesn't understand it. Broker doesn't like it, doesn't want to do it, and so that's that. I think that's a big part of that is the agent doesn't understand it. So they go to their broker and say, hey, this consulting thing looks pretty cool. Can I do it? And the broker says, well, tell me about it. And the agent says, well, go to the website and read about it. You know, they don't go to their broker with a plan. You know, like, okay, here's how I see this working. Here's how, you know, here's financially how it would work. Here's logistically how it would work. Here's how I would pay you. Here's, a, you know. They don't go in with a plan. They just go in and say, I want to be a consultant. Can I? And their broker says no, and that's the end of that. That's a big stumbling block. You know, others are, I don't know how to market myself as a consultant. Of course, there's always the debates that why would anybody pay me if they can get it for free? I think that's, you know, that's something we're going to talk about a lot. We're not going to talk about it today. But just I think a lot of the stumbling blocks are internal, that people either they don't believe in it, they don't believe that consulting is a good deal for the consumer, they don't know how to market it, they don't see the value in it. I mean, they kind of like it and they like the philosophy, and then they look at the numbers and they say, well, shoot, if I, you know, just go out and be a traditional real estate agent making, you know, $10,000 per deal, that's a better deal than charging $500 for CMA or whatever. And they're, you know, mixing apples and oranges. So there's a lot of stumbling blocks. We will talk about that a lot more in the new year. Okay.
Jennifer, I might contribute something to that,
Please, if I may, Ron.
Mm-hmm. Because I've thought a lot about that and encountered a lot of resistance to it. And I think, first of all, the resistance is within the context of our industry, which has a very, very strong and all-pervasive sales and selling culture. And a consulting culture is different. So that's part of it. I think people fail to understand that consulting is more of a mindset or a state of mind than it is anything to do with selling, and those two things are confused. Some people have expressed to me that they perceive consulting as a way to earn less money, and I can tell you that doesn't have to be true, because I've experienced a very good income from consulting over recent years. And others have made the mistake of including it in their toolkit, so to speak, as something to be trotted out when they're in competitive jeopardy, perhaps in getting a listing. And they do that, here we're going in a circle, they do that because they don't understand what it is. They perhaps think it is, among other things, just a different way of charging. Mm-hmm. Well, it may be that, but consulting is much more than a different way of charging. So I think those are some of the things that amount to roadblocks in embracing consulting as a practice.
I agree, and there's an article that Ron wrote, and it was just absolutely brilliant about, and Merv has written some awesome articles about it too, and that's something that I have addressed pretty heavily in the introductory module of the New Acre course. So thank you, thanks. Billy wants to know what will happen to the forum comments and the information. I'm assuming you're talking about the exchange. Merv may have to step in on this, but my understanding is that the exchange is actually not a forum, it's a blog. And so it's not, when we create the forum at the new site, I don't think we're going to be able to import the exchange into the forum because they're just completely different platforms. It's not forum to forum, which we just did over at SWS Connect. We moved from a forum to a forum, and it was pretty seamless. What we would like to do, and again, Merv, you know, correct me if I'm speaking out of turn here, is create an archive, a searchable archive from the exchange. Now, that's a ginormous project, I can tell you, because I did it over the summer with my own blog, and it took probably 40 to 60 hours for me to do that. It was a big project. But ideally, that's what we would like to do, is to create a very searchable archive of the entire exchange and the comments. So, okay. The exchange has some fantastic stuff on it. For those of you who are guests, the exchange is sort of the forum. It's a private forum for Acre graduates only, and there is some hot stuff on there, a lot of it. And the comments many times are just as insightful and informative as the posts themselves. So we definitely will not be losing that, don't worry.
And if I could just add, it's not just the comments back and forth, but we have a tremendous amount of resources in terms of, videos and, mm-hmm. Real good learning tools.
Okay. It sounds like, did we lose, Merv, did we lose you?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now, yeah.
Oh, okay. I went to push. I had my cell phone on mute, and I went to unmute it.
Oh, okay.
And I inadvertently pushed the N key, and then I had to scramble to go find the host PIN
right.
code.
About the exchange, if we would be able to import the exchange into the new forum, and I explained that it probably not, because they're completely different platforms. It's not forum to forum, it's blog to forum, but we're talking about the maybe creating at some point a searchable archive of everything on the on the exchange.
Yeah,
so.
Anything is possible. It really depends on how much resource it takes and how much it costs and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think the easiest thing maybe to do is what we did with SWS Connect and just made your searchable soul,
mm-hmm.
or made your that blog an archive, and I believe we can do the same thing, and it won't cost an arm and a leg to do that.
Well, and it's pretty hot, so and I was explaining that was extremely time consuming for me to do, but it might not. It was kind of a fun project. It was very time consuming, but it was kind of fun. So anyway, we're not worst case scenario. The exchange will just sit there forever and ever. And be there, but I think we would like to harness or capture a lot of that stuff because it's pretty awesome. Okay, let's see. Cindy is asking about a mentoring program that's actually something we would like to implement. I am doing that over at Soul with Soul Connect, SWS Connect, and sort of local. And over there, I'm planning for it to be local mentoring, and we don't have to talk about that here. But yeah, I definitely would. And I'm glad you mentioned this. One of, I think, the biggest benefits to the ACRE 2.0 is going to be the increased opportunity for networking, for connecting. So, we're just going to have a different platform, maybe a little more user-friendly platform, where members can connect with each other and, we can set up mentoring relationships or we can offer mentoring relationships and, referral networks. And there's lots of things that we'll be able to do in the new site. So, yes. Charles wants to know, and I'm actually going to have Ron answer this. Charles wants to know, when a person calls for information on listing their house, the question of price will come up. How do we tell them that information will cost them in a consulting model but is part of the traditional commission model?
Well, I think it's premature to deal with pricing,
mm-hmm.
in an initial phone call.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, what has worked reasonably well is that I see an initial phone inquiry from a consumer as having one objective, and that is to arrange an appointment to get face-to-face with that person. And,
mm-hmm.
The idea of paying for pricing information isn't the whole story of consulting. It is but an ingredient in the overall consulting concept. And someone who is totally focused on price to the exclusion of other things may not be a good consulting prospect.
Good point. Excellent. Okay. All right. That is all the questions I have here right now. If anybody has anything else they'd like to ask while you have us here, please send those in over the webcast screen. I'll just chatter here for a minute or two longer, and if nothing comes in, then I'll let you all go. Again, I really do want to say thank you for everybody's support, and especially all the activity we've had on the exchange over the last month or two. Some of it has become a little bit heated. I think we've all, kept our cool pretty much, and, not taken things personally. I mean, it didn't get ugly or anything, just... sometimes there were some differences of opinions, but I think some good things came out of that. I hope that continues, and I do hope that the show today was helpful and answered some of your questions, probably raised a lot more, and I'm, delighted to answer those. We'll probably know a lot more about the new ACRE course, the website within, the next month or so I'm sure we'll be holding another meeting. We're here. If you have comments, feedback for us, where to find us.
And let me just reiterate before everybody gets off the call again how thrilled I am with what you're doing, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thrilled. She always says that. I love talking to Molly.
Well, I'm not fawning over you. I'm just simply saying that, you just brought a breath of fresh air and a, definable way of going forward that, I'm just very excited about and, really happy to continue my involvement, getting my marching orders from you. And, I just think that somebody who has had this dream in my mind, this is a very exciting development for me.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate everything that you've done and will continue to do. And I do thank Merv. My gosh, he's been wonderful setting up my SWS Connect site. That's probably the cleanest website I've ever had. It works almost flawlessly. So it's awesome if you guys
almost.
Well,
almost.
You know. Well, okay, it works almost flawlessly, but when I find something that doesn't, it's fixed in about 5 minutes. So, yeah, it's awesome. Believe me, that's a big deal. So, alrighty, that's all I have. So I'm going to wish everybody adieu for the day. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much, Ron and Merv and Molly, for joining me here. Molly, I'm sorry about your uncle, so go give everybody a hug tomorrow.
Thank you.
And everybody, you know where to find us, so thank you for being here. And
great.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, guys. Okay,
bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good to be with you. Bye.
Okay.